Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segretto, and this is Franchise Today. Today is Wednesday, January 25th, 2017, right ahead of IFA 2017 in beautiful Sin City, Las Vegas. We'll be at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Conference Center starting on Sunday, going all the way through next Wednesday. Reminding everybody, we will not be live on Franchise Today next week, but we have a great action-packed show today. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Stan Friedman from the beautiful city of Atlanta. Stan, how are you today?
Can you say Super Bowl?
I know. God, you had to bring that up, right?
Well, you said Atlanta, and I said Falcons. Rise up, Paul.
Yeah, rise up. Okay. All right. On to better things.
Well, Paul, my regrets to you, my good friend Pete Baldean, and those others that are part of the Steelers Nation. I know you guys were just – I was texting away during the game with one or two of my favorite fans, Mr. Segretto, Mr. Baldean. But, you know, it wasn't the year for you guys, although you guys were just battered up. I think you've had a rough year, a tough year.
Yeah.
The Falcons, on the other hand, rise up, Paul. Here we go. We are Super Bowl bound. I can't believe it. And Atlanta is just celebrating. It doesn't matter what happens game day anymore. We are just so happy.
Well, I don't know about that.
This team is looking like it's just been a real joy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. 2 weeks from now, so we'll see. Right here in the sunny city of Houston. Stan, you had a great event last week, also on the radio. Something called Shrimp Tank. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Shrimp Tank was actually, it was a 1-2 punch for me last week. I hosted a webinar last week with Tim Gilboy, Jimmy Weeks, and Steve Olson on revving up your franchise engine for the new year. And we had a terrific webinar and a great turnout. And then it was a 1-2 punch, as I said, the very next day. I had the opportunity to be a guest on a podcast with somebody who hosts that podcast, who's a former guest of ours, Chris Hanks, who runs the Entrepreneurship Center at Kennesaw State University. So Chris has a couple of cohorts, just like I've got Paul Segretto, right? Chris, a gentleman named Lee Heisman, and another gentleman named Ted Jenkin, all co-host this thing called the Shrimp Tank. And, you know, my first question was, where do you get a name like the Shrimp Tank? Well, they kind of play some games like the Shark Tank does for big boys, big grown-ups, big entrepreneurs. These guys host quite often high school and college students who bring ideas to them, and they don't award any money, but they do award some intellectual capital, and they invite these kids into the Shrimp Tank, and they assess and evaluate their entrepreneurial ideas and help them mold the clay, if you will, on some things that these young entrepreneurs are thinking about. So that's how they became known as the Shrimp Tank, but the program was phenomenal. They brought me on and enabled me to talk a little bit about FRM, but really to talk about franchising and to help their audience learn a little bit more about the business model of franchising and how young entrepreneurs can be looking to the franchise segment as a space to consider as part of their entrepreneurial dreams. I wanted to let you know, too, Paul, that Kennesaw State University, the Coles School of Business, and Chris Hanks have made Kennesaw State the only college in the state of Georgia accredited to teach a BA in entrepreneurship as a major. And that's a big deal. And the Entrepreneurship Center at KSU does something more akin to the Shark Tank as well. While I joke about the Shrimp Tank on the podcast, Kennesaw State has a KSU Top 100 program. And for any student of Kennesaw State or schools affiliated with them, they invite 100 kids to participate in a program that pairs them up with a mentor and enables them to work through the business planning of a new business enterprise and then going in front of a group of entrepreneurs who listen to the pitches. 99 of them get eliminated, One of them gets up to $100,000 in seed capital and investment and business services, along with a cash award of $5,000. And so I think anybody with an entrepreneurial bent or spirit, at the high school and into college and then college into real world, it really has an opportunity to get a leg up in a way that very few others may have, to get mentored by business and community and educational leaders, and the opportunity to capitalize with seed capital up to $100,000 in actual cash and business services and investment advice. Wow. So KSU's 100, top 100, is something I just want to call out. Anybody who wants to learn more about it can go to Kennesaw State University's Cole School of Business on the website, and from there just continue to look for the Shore Entrepreneurship Center and learn more about the program. Pretty inspiring, Paul.
Yeah, very inspiring. I was really impressed when we spoke with him on Franchise Today. Matter of fact, this weekend, I think as I'm flying out to Vegas, I'm going to listen to that segment again. Of course, all of our segments are available on blogtalkradio.com/franchisetoday, as well as on iTunes. So I'll have some listening to do on my flight.
And anybody who wants to listen to the Shrimp Tank segment that I did last week, can just go to shrimptankpodcast.com and they'll find it easily enough as well.
So you also had a webinar. Tell us real quick about that, and then we'll bring on today's guest.
Well, the webinar was really all about just some of the things that we don't think about often enough, Paul. We all consider the sources and the budgets and where we go to find and generate new leads and how much we spend for brokers or how much we spend for portals or shows. But no matter where you go to source your leads, I think too little time is spent under the hood in making certain that your infrastructure is fired up for success as well, that your website, for example, is in alignment with all of the search engines, and that your load times for pages aren't going to get people so disenfranchised as waiting for too long to be able to get to a page that they bounce and go away. So it was all about some of those under-the-hood things. We talked to Tim Gilboy, did about the power of texting and the research that Franchise Help has done in support of the knowledge that text and SMS is just it's rising as the preliminary, the primary best way to communicate with prospects. At an exponential rate. Jimmy Weeks talked about all of those mechanics and doing your Google Analytics and making certain that all of your pages are loading correctly and are functional correctly on all versions of web browsers. Steve Olson talked about, again, with reference to text, the power of chat messaging 24/7 and enabling people to have instant engagement with chat messaging on your franchise development websites. All of these things were basically under-the-hood conversations so that we are all assured that no matter what our spend is for franchise development, that we're kind of tuned up under the hood to be certain that we're getting the most bang for the buck, no matter what that buck might be. So that podcast or webinar is available now as a downloadable. Anybody who wants to that didn't catch it live can just shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to send you a link so that you can hear it if you're so inclined.
That'll be great. I've listened to part of it. I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of it. Good information. Certainly wouldn't start out on a cross-country trip without looking under the hood and making sure everything is operating efficiently. You know, we talk a lot about entrepreneurship on Franchise Today, and I do want to make mention, you know, serial entrepreneur, you know, Phil Romano of Macaroni Grill fame and Fuddruckers fame, and has taken, you know, Rudy's Barbecue and Country Store to new heights. Well, he's got a neat little incubation project going on in Dallas that we had a chance to visit again for the second time in Trinity Grove. And it's actually a restaurant incubation center. It's about 12 or 15 different restaurants in there. And Stan, here's the great thing. They have to submit a business plan for him. They have to get an okay to open up there, see the whole plan. And he gives them an opportunity to make it or break it in 6 months. And at any time after 6 months, if they are not achieving the numbers that they thought they would achieve, and they've made the necessary changes to get that way. The bottom line is, if it's not going anywhere, he lets them out of his lease, and he takes care of a lot of the build-out. So it's really a unique setting. And the next time you're in Dallas, visit Trinity Grove and help support some of these young entrepreneurs and restaurant tours. And
very impressive, Paul.
Cereal, yeah, really impressive place. And speaking about cereal entrepreneurs, today's guest, Kevin Johnson, who's also the founder and CEO of Over the Top Cake Supplies, says about the brand that it's a retail store for the everyday home baker and the local chef. A place to learn how to decorate baked goods, and also a fun place for children and adults alike to decorate cakes, cupcakes, and cookies in a fun party setting. Kevin, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thank you. Good morning, Stan and Paul. How are you this morning?
We're good. It's morning for us and afternoon for Stan, and such is the trials and tribulations of different time zones. But thank you for being on the show today. And, of course, I had the pleasure of a couple of times now of having dinner with you and some other, and for full transparency, of course, Over the Top Cake Supplies is a client of Franchise Foundry. But we spent some time together at Trinity Grove, and I know both of us were quite impressed with that entire enterprise.
We were, definitely. I mean, the whole concept of several restaurants all tied together gives you so many options for dining and just walking around and enjoying the evening as it may fall through. You know, it gives great options, and several people can go in and actually dine in different restaurants at the same time and sit very near each other.
Yeah, it's really unique, and I've been seeing more and more of that. As they're referring to it as restaurant halls, which I think is a more sophisticated food court, are things that are popping up on the restaurant scene today. But here's an interesting thing. You know, obviously Phil Romano found a gap in the environment, so to speak, for young restaurateurs. And I think it's a lot like the gap that you found with the home bakers and the local chefs with respect to, you know, a small local retail store, but also a place where they can be educated and trained upon, you know, cake decorating and what have you, but at different levels without it being a culinary school or just being a party place. Over the Top Cake Supply seems to be that type of spot that filled that gap. So before we get into, you know, talking about the brand itself, we like to talk about you, Kevin. I know your family started in the bakery business, and you and your brother got involved in it. Take us through that journey to where you are, where you were 20 years ago, and to the point of where we are today.
Okay, well, 20 years ago, I was actually here. So let's go back a little further in childhood days growing up. We grew up in the bakery industry. Our parents owned and ran bakeries throughout our life, mostly in Minnesota, and then we moved to Texas in 1972 as a relocation, also to buy and run bakeries up in the Dallas area and then later down to San Antonio. So obviously blood, bakery has been in our blood for years, and I just wasn't sure I wanted to be on the back of the house side. So shortly after graduating from high school, I sold a little real estate, and then Stan, I think you're old enough, Stan. So in 1979, I think the real estate market was not doing too well. So so we opened up. There was an actual local distributor, bakery distributor that had just opened up in the San Antonio market and was looking for a sales rep. And so I went to work for them, and they – we're lucky enough to be employed, was lucky enough to be employed with them for 16 years. And then in 1994, my brother and I opened Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply, and we're a 22-year-old full-line, broad-line bakery distribution company.
Paul, that suggestion about age, do you really think that was necessary, Paul?
Well, we did have quite a dinner at Bob's Chop House, so together, the three of us, along with Jennifer from my team. So I think there's a level of familiarity. I'll leave it at that.
And I knew it was a borderline comment. I knew it was a borderline
Ouch.
Comment because, you
Ouch.
Know, I wasn't sure where he was in 79, but I knew it was – I figured
you know
he
what?
Would be out of college.
You know where I was in 1979? I was still in Dallas, Texas, of all places, and I was in broadcast. But preceding my franchise days, but I was in the great state of Texas in 79.
Okay, well, it's good.
Of
so
course,
you know the
Stan,
real estate
you
market
could,
wasn't
you
that great.
Stan, you could rib him on the fact that your Falcons are going to the Super Bowl and his Dallas Cowboys are sitting at home.
I could.
I thought that conversation was over.
But I won't.
So, no,
tell
you,
us a little
I mean,
bit.
Go ahead.
Kevin, tell us a little bit about so Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply started 22 years ago. It's grown into a very robust business with clients, very well-known clients such as H-E-B Supermarkets and Whole Foods. And I know you not only provide bakery supplies, but you provide a lot of instruction to those the bakers that work at those businesses. Tell us a little bit about that, because I really think this is starting to get into the foundation of where Over the Top pop up.
Yes, definitely. So what's made us successful over the years has been not necessarily just the distribution side of the business, but taking the concepts and taking them to another level and being able to get with the employees and create manuals and take the programs and the items that we sell them and execute them. You know, there's a lot of people that can get out there and just sell on price or sell on item, but if there's not execution, it's going to be a very short-term gain. So our claim to fame has always been in the distribution side, both with our former employer and developing our own company, has been the fact that we've created programs and have made the customers more successful because of all the items that we have created and designed to implement.
Can you talk a little bit about, from the consumer base, what it is about your products and your go-to-market strategy that have made your customers raving fans of what you do?
Yes, on the Over the Top side, I'm assuming you're meaning the Over the Top customer base?
Yep.
Okay, yeah. So because of the natural fit of being able to supply the baking industry and the training level that we've done for so many years, we did feel like it was a natural fit to open a cake supply store. Not that we're the first one that's ever done it, but I believe that we're the best one that's ever done it. And I think that's because we've streamlined the concept and we've made it fun and we've made it more broad and created a community. So when you say consumers and our customer base is the natural cake baker, but also the home baker, the novice who has never done baking, and the local chefs. We create this community at our stores to where they come in, and it's the first thing they're hitting in is like they're saying hi and they're talking about their day before even getting into, you know, do you have this or do you have that and what's the price. That's the great part about Over the Top, because when you're walking in, because of the design and the layout and the colors and the happiness that we created, they're just wanting to come in and have fun and enjoy the day. So I think that's what sets us apart, and that's what our customers look forward to every day when they come into the store.
How big is the footprint when they come into the store? What kind of describe the experience that they're having?
Sure. So our footprint, typically we have two footprints. We've just recently developed a non-classroom footprint, but we also have our standard, most consistent footprint will be 2,000 to 2,400 square foot retail store with a party classroom, to where they'll, you know, like Paul said earlier on the lead-in, we do a tremendous amount of birthday parties and kids camps and ladies' night out, corks and confection classes, and many other ongoing extended education classes. So the footprint is typically you're walking in, you're walking straight into the retail section, you're walking straight into the POS station where you're greeted by the employees with smiles. And then working your way back towards the back of the store is where you'll be able to see the classroom and all the things that go on in that classroom.
So, Kevin, as you – I know Over the Top started with actually some packaging of goods under the brand Over the Top, and then you kind of tested it out kind of an extension of the warehouse until you realized, you know, you really had something. You made the investment in opening a corporate store in order to prove out the model. And then, of course, after a couple of years of success there, you started looking at franchising to where we are today. Take us through, you know, the decision to open up the corporate store. What was your thinking at that point? Was it to potentially open up more corporate stores, or was it entirely to prove the concept further and in order to get into franchising?
Sure. So the reason the reason behind opening the first corporate store was, number one, because of our distribution side, we know that it's a very successful industry. We know that the market is very large throughout the United States and throughout our distribution market of Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. So we have that customer base and have for 38 plus years with both companies. So we know, and we know that market is getting larger and larger because the orders are getting larger and larger. Our situation opening our test store here was solely for the market of San Antonio, which had a huge void in quality of cake supply stores. We basically had one company that was here, but we felt was not doing a very good job. So we decided to test it at our warehouse. So we built out a nice little 900 square foot store, which clearly was a destination because it was in the middle of an industrial park. So with that being said, we opened that, and clearly we had all the cake club business. We had a lot of cake club business that came in because they knew who we were. They just knew that we couldn't sell to them as a consumer. So we got that market, and then we start, you know, marketing and doing social media and growing into the, you know, into the home baker, and then also a tremendous amount of classes and continuing educational classes were provided here at our warehouse facility because we have a very nice test kitchen. So that just started growing and growing to the point where now I felt like after a couple of years, we needed to get out there and get that impulse buyer and the customer base that needs to at least drive by and be curious about what this business is and come in and just grow that business.
I would think, Paul, you know, that it's not the kind of business that people would even dream exists. I would think that it's kind of like walking into Wonderland and going down the rabbit hole. If you walk into a place that, you know, like I might do with hot sauces, I found some places where I walk in and there are just shelves after shelves after shelves of different kinds of hot sauces that I've never seen or heard of before. I could spend days in a store like that. And I know that there are people that are every bit as avid about baking as I might be about sauce. So I'm thinking it's got to be like a real wonderland kind of a discovery for people that find this for the first time.
Yeah, it really is the first time that I saw it. I was impressed from that same standpoint, but also I love the fact of the retail and the classroom party room in the back. You know, I could see a lot of business being generated on both sides. You know, people come in a retail store to see the classes, they register for classes or have their parties, or they're invited as guests to a party, and then on their way out, they're stopping in the retail portion and buying goods and booking their own party. So it really is a nice revenue model. But As you developed the location, so you had the test location in the warehouse, things were going well, and you decide to open up a prototype location on the north side of San Antonio. Take us through that experience and what your revelations were as far as, you know, the customers coming in and what your next steps were.
Okay, so obviously, a continuation of our existing business, we actually kept the warehouse store open just because it was on the other side of town. So we had a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge of what worked and what didn't work. So we were able to open this store and design it to with the classroom to have a very nice layout, but still consistent with our design and our brand. So that business immediately took off. So we did very, very well. We struggled a little bit on the classroom side in the first year, and I think it was more our fault than anybody else's because we were so busy on the retail side and so welcome from the industry that we you know, probably lacked in promoting the classes as much as we should have, and realized the value of what they bring. So about after the first year, we start really focusing on promoting the classroom, knowing that that party room, classroom, anybody that enters that classroom now becomes a retail customer to eternity, because there's nothing that we'll do ever with our brand that will cause us to lose a customer. So anybody we feel that we can get into the classroom or party room will now become a very highly potential retail customer. So that thing kept going and going, and we kept expanding different things and just getting better at social media. And right after that's now, that store now in March will be 3 years old. About a year after opening, we started talking about franchising, exploring the different vehicles and different people that could help us do that. And then about 6 months later, I believe, and Paul, you can correct me, but I believe I attended a Franchise South Expo nearly a year and a half ago.
Yep.
And that's when we first met, and I met you, and the rest is history. We decided to
Before we get into it, in fact, we'll get into the franchise side of the business right after
sure.
our break. But I have one quick question leading into the break, and that is, just tell the audience who the typical demographic profile would be for these parties. Who do you find yourself, or is it a singular demographic? What does that look like?
You know, that's a fun question to answer, because obviously the very first people that entered our classroom were the professional / cottage baker decorator, because in our industry and in that cake supply industry, really the only thing that's ever kind of happened in the classroom, in a classroom at some of the other independently owned stores, is continuing education. So we knew we wanted to start with that. So we went out and sought some really, really highly professional and well-known cake decorators throughout the industry and throughout the U.S., and we were able to partner up with them and bring them in and do some really powerful cake classes and some high-end continuing education classes. And then on top of that, we partnered up with the cake clubs. And so we offer, you know, a very nice discount to all the cake club members, which is two or three different cake clubs in our market. So they now all become customers and advocates of over-the-top cake supplies. So that's a demographic first customer that we approach. Then we start hitting the birthday parties. Then we start hitting the kids' camps. And from that standpoint, we basically marketed to the mom. We marketed to the mom and to the families, and that has really spearheaded not only the parties and the camps and the kids' events, but also the Quirks and Confections, because at some point, mom needs a break. So, and that would be our Ladies' Night Out event.
Awesome. This is Franchise Today. I'm Stan Friedman, along with Paul Segretto, and we're talking with somebody who absolutely knows the difference between half-baked or ready to go, and that's Kevin Johnson, franchisor of Over the Top Cake Supplies. Franchise Today is brought to you by the Franchise Foundry, where their team of professionals has been bringing emerging brands to market for more than 30 years with healthy, sustainable growth, the kind of growth that comes from experience. The Franchise Foundry provides their clients with coaching and consulting, a hybrid approach, fostering more effective solutions for both corporate teams and their franchisees. The Franchise Foundry is rich in practical, hands-on experience and expertise in general business management, operational and change management, and is skilled and proficient in digital marketing, franchise recruitment, and development. The Foundry team can also assist with creating roadmaps for potential mergers, acquisitions, or capital acquisition, and the guidance needed to navigate those courses. Learn more about Paul Segretto and the Franchise Foundry, along with their expanding list of clients, at franchisefoundry.com. Franchise Today also brought to you by FRM Solutions, offering best-in-class CRM and document management software designed specifically for franchising. FRM is the only CRM that offers text messaging tracking as well as email tracking, again, designed exclusively for franchising. We enable collaborative communications between you and your prospective and existing franchisees. Make today the day you give FRM a look, and start 2017 assured that all of your candidate and franchisee correspondence, including text messaging, is being tracked and permanently stored and historical archives of all of your candidates and franchisees' records. One last thing, with FRM, your cloud-based software is upgraded annually and at no additional cost, so you're always operating the latest and greatest version of their software. Find out more about FRM on the web at frmsolutions.com or look for us at the upcoming IFA convention. So, Kevin, we've learned a lot about what got you started from the commercial side of your business into the consumer side and then into franchising. So let's talk a little bit more in our time left today about the franchising side of life and how that evolved and how the relationship with Paul played a role in that for you. And then who it is that makes the best franchisee and who it is you look for and what they should look for and expect from you.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. So upon visiting the Franchise Expo, I had a nice sit down with Paul and we started talking about my goal and what I wanted to do. And of course he hadn't been there and hadn't had a chance to come visit. So I think reluctancy would probably set in a little bit just because, like you mentioned earlier, it's like, who really knows? Who really knows what this means unless you're in that cake decorating world? You know, it's kind of like a curious place. Fortunately, it does say cake supplies on the signage, so at least you know that. But it is an untapped market, and I think a market where a lot of people really want to find out more about it. So I explained a lot, and I think he got my passion. He got the background, and I've seen how it fit. He just had to come visit us. So we had a great, great visit and went through the process, went through all the classes and did all the educational stuff that weekend. And later on, we scheduled an appointment and Paul came down to visit San Antonio and see the store. And I think he immediately felt the same thing I felt. So after that, we decided to go ahead and partner up with Paul, mainly because starting your own franchise company, for me, and I'm sure for many other people, I owned other businesses, and it was very difficult for me to set up a team and go to market and start pretending like I knew how to franchise do franchise sales. So I decided that it was best for the company and the entire organization to hire a professional company that obviously is very well known in the industry, and this is what they do. So we did. We signed the agreement, and it's been, we haven't looked back since. It's been a phenomenal relationship and definitely a lifesaver for me because I truly don't have time to be able to do a lot of the items that are required to develop a successful franchise company.
So talk about the candidate for one of your franchises. If you could rub the genie out of the lamp and say, here's exactly who I'm looking for and this is exactly who I think is best suited to be in this business as a franchisee, tell us who that would be.
Absolutely. So we currently already have four franchises, and we're less than a year deep into franchising. So we're very fortunate. We feel very fortunate. And naturally, the prime candidate is anyone with like a cake decorating experience, someone that knows the in and outs of decorating a birthday cake, whether it's a novice, whether they're novice or professional. The passion and love of being that cake decorator or cake baker is obviously the first and naturally the best candidate for us. And of course, you have the investor that's looking for 3 to 5 locations. We certainly would help them locate and educate and train cake decorators to manage the stores and such. But yes, the prime candidate typically would be someone that does have the passion and ins and out of decorating a cake.
You know, one of the things I found, Stan, in working with candidates for this brand are, just that, the people that are passionate about it that aren't even looking at other opportunities. So it's really a unique situation. One of the things I want to talk about, though, is Kevin, as being a student of franchising, and so let's just take a little step back. It was interesting when I first met Kevin, and I met his son Dylan, and I met his general manager of Johnson Brothers, Randy, and both Randy and Kevin's son Dylan said, oh my God, you know, you're the guy. I recognize your voice. And when I asked both of them, well, what is it that you mean? And they said, well, every time we get in Kevin's truck, or in Dylan's case, they get in my dad's truck, you know, you're on the radio. He's listening to Franchise Today all the time. And so I guess the relationship started, you know, well before the time we met. But it was interesting in working with Kevin at how many of the things that he remembered from the show. And I think that just goes to a point, Stan, of the good that we're doing for franchising. And he actually had notes and actually came back and said, what about this and what about that? And obviously he was educated enough to make informed decisions. Kevin, tell us a little bit about that as you were thinking about, you know, the jump into franchising with that in mind.
Well, it was a big jump because we are so busy and so occupied with Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply I knew the market was going to be big. I knew the market was going to be big. I knew there was a demand for this, and I knew that nobody had ever streamlined and taken a cake supply store concept on a nationwide level. So, you know, we knew that part, but what we didn't know is the legality part of it, and FDD and all these things that Franchise Foundry has done for us, and hand walked ourselves through that. You know, it's a tremendous undertaking. It is a tremendous undertaking, and there's no way, I can't tell you, I probably, without finding you, Paul, and or Franchise Foundry, I'm not sure I would have had the patience and the ability to run my company and continue on the path of seeing this dream through. You know, everybody always has a lot of dreams, and as an entrepreneur, you know, I've had many, many more, many other items that I would have liked to take bigger, but one thing leads to another, and then all of a sudden things fall apart, and you're like, okay, well, we'll move on to the next project. So, you know, this thing for us has been so phenomenal because, you know, everybody in my family, everybody at my, you know, at our business knew how passionate I was about it and how much I wanted it. But I just don't think it would have been pulled off without Franchise Foundry, I can tell you.
So let me ask this because, you know, obviously you knew you had something hot. You proved it out. You saw the numbers. You saw the potential. Yet you weren't satisfied to just stay the course. Since then, you've made and initiated some of the changes on your own, and some of them obviously came from recommendations. But you took what was developed as a very nice prototype store and took it to another level with the likes of FC Dadson on the design and layout of a prototype. You hired a branding company to rework the logo, which was already a very nice logo, but you took it to a different level. And it's all these different things. So share some of your thoughts about that because, like I said, you already knew you had a firm foundation and you knew you had potential for success, but you wanted to take it to a next level, and certainly, and Stan, here's my segue, certainly you wanted to take it over the top. So explain a little bit behind your thought process on that.
So, yes, correct. I knew we had a nice store. I knew we had a nice store, and once again, without some little extra push and convincing, I probably would not have located and went after someone like an FC Dadson who designs and lays out and builds the store for you. But again, because of my lack of time and the ability to work through exactly how I'd want that done, we were introduced to them, and they've been amazing. So they're the experts. You think about them. This is what they do day in, day out. They design and build store layouts. So I thought I had the perfect layout. I thought I had the perfect design, and I thought I had something that would be more accepted on a national level. But in meeting with them and going through the layout, I think basically they just kind of pulled me back a little bit and reeled me in and calmed my colors down a little bit, made it more national appealing than maybe Southwest Texas appealing with the super, super bright colors, but we still have amazing, fun colors. So you know, being able to take that step and go with that route. You know, when I'm out shopping and I'm out with my wife and we're on vacation, there's not a time when I'm not looking at a retail location, seeing what they're doing, what makes them successful, and doing a lot of reading on what does make successful franchises. And you know, you got these multi-million dollar franchisors with, you know, thousands of locations. You know, they're doing something right. So that's when I went after a fantastic point of sale system. I went after the top notch loyalty system that I can implement, that could be implemented throughout the system, throughout as we grow. And like Paul said, updated the logo and made that cleaner and more attractive and more universal. So this step, certainly not the end of changes, but I can assure anybody that all changes will be positive.
So as you continue to grow and look for new franchisees, Kevin, I know with only, you know, 4 open so far, but you've got more in development. Have you found a sweet spot for who it is that you're targeting, and how far and wide are you searching? Are you going to be growing in concentric circles and trying to keep things close to home base, or are you going to blast out nationally?
No, so obviously the franchise expos have worked up to this point. We have a tremendous amount of leads out of the South Expo, still working strong leads out of the North Expo from a year ago. So those, I think, are the logical leads that we go after. But I can tell you, knowing about this industry and understanding all the different cake conventions and consumer cake conventions that are happening throughout the United States, they're absolutely massive. They're 15 and 20,000 attended shows that are literally cake shows for the consumer and the cottage baker and the cake decorating novice. So that market is what we're going after this year. Besides the traditional expo shows, we're going after these cake club shows. We're going to do one down in Miami called the South Flow Cake Expo. We're going to do one in Orlando, and we're going to do some regional ones. We got one coming up in Austin. So that cake decorator who never thought of could they own their own cake supply store and party/classroom, that's who we want to go after. We feel like that's a tremendous market. So when we go to these expos and these shows, the cake club shows, we are going in as not over-the-top cake supplies, but over that over-the-top cake supplies franchisor. So these are strictly franchise shows, booths with franchise opportunities. And there's shows that people could Google, that there's Cookie Con, there's Cake Con, there's the different, it's mind-boggling. And all this, you know why? All this is because of TV shows, and the TV shows and the excitement that's created.
The like, right?
Yeah, the Food Network and the and they're not going away because they're tremendously successful.
Yeah, we have Carlo's Bakery actually opening here in the Woodlands. Just was notified of that yesterday.
Opened in Frisco.
Shows,
yeah,
these cake shows are really helping. So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about, you know, where you'd like to be 5 years from now with the brand, and then I want to talk about a couple of other things of an entrepreneurial nature as well.
So, our goals over the next 5 years is to be upwards to 50 to 70 locations of the Overtop Cake Supplies. We feel that's very conservative. I feel like we can accomplish that probably within the next 2 to 3 years. I also want to be smart, and I want to grow. I want to grow smart, and I don't want to be that guy that's been on, you know, The Prophet and been on Shark Tank, or mostly The Prophet, that has had some horror stories on franchisors. I will not allow that to happen within our organization. So, our goal is to grow aggressively, but also grow smart, because we will not be that franchisor that ignores the franchisee.
So as you've learned about franchising, and I know now we're going to back up to Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply again, you do a lot of business with Johnson Brothers with microbreweries, and a lot of people might not think about a bakery supply store, you know, working with microbreweries, and yet you found another gap in the market and have filled it quite well and are even, you know, drawing out very broad strokes right now on a couple of franchise concepts that could, you know, launch into the craft beer industry. And that, of course, is very exciting. Tell us a little bit about that, of just some of your thought process in looking at these gaps that are out there.
Sure. So obviously, and going back a little bit on the cake supply concept and the franchisees, Johnson Brothers obviously is the distribution arm for the cake supply stores, which makes it a logical fit. So going back to synergies, and what that does for the Over the Top Cake Supply franchise owner is they now are buying every item from Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply versus having to deal with upwards to 50-plus vendors and 50-plus shipments and 50-plus payments. So the streamlining of that for the franchisee is fantastic, with obviously tremendous pricing because of the volume that they're recognizing. So that being said, I'm always looking for synergies that tie in to our corporate business, Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply. That being said, we nearly a year and a half, 2 years ago, started thinking about how crazy this craft beer industry has gotten. And so I guess right around a year and a half ago now, we decided to embark on the craft beer industry on the distribution side. So we hired a specialist in that business who knew that industry, much like we invested in Franchise Foundry. That's not what we know. I mean, we didn't know craft beer industry, but we bought a gentleman in that did, and he's done an amazing job. We've now been truly on track a little more than a year, and we've acquired over 85 breweries and selling well over $1 million in craft beer supplies to that industry, where a year ago it was just an afterthought. So, and once again, all that distribution comes through Johnson Brothers because we're driving right by that customer.
And then, so the interesting thing is, as I've learned more about that and spent time with you and your key person up in Dallas on the craft beer side, you know, also your mind is really running towards, you know, franchising and models that can be, you know, duplicated and replicated. And we've even had some high-level conversations of something similar of homebrew stores, you know, similar to over-the-top cake supplies. And it's really interesting how your mind is working towards this, and certainly kudos for all your entrepreneurial endeavors. You know, Stan, next time you're in San Antonio, we need to bring you over to Johnson Brothers Bakery Supplies warehouse, 100,000 square foot plus warehouse, and they've got a chocolate room that's climate controlled, and it's amazing as you walk through this room, all the different scents of chocolates as you're working. You can tell with Swiss chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, mocha. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing, and I think that's just, again, the detail that is behind this organization is just phenomenal. And, of course, you know, just like in the prophet says, you know, process, people, product. And I know Johnson Brothers does do a lot with people in addition to their products and products and services.
I want to talk about
working with them.
I want to talk about some of that, Paul, because in some of the time remaining, I don't want us to get out of this podcast without talking about Kevin's propensity for doing well by doing good. And Kevin, I've always admired entrepreneurs that have an appetite for business, but also have a sense of wanting to give back. And I would love for you to talk a little bit about Project Angel Fire and help us understand better the kind of commitment that you've made to it.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, a few years ago, my wife and I were watching Extreme Home Makeover, and we seen this child that was struggling. Their family was struggling, the child was struggling, and they were building them a home. So at that point, at the same time in San Antonio, there's an amusement park being built called Morgan's Wonderland. Morgan's Wonderland is the Disney World for special needs and wheelchair-accessible people, children and adults. So at that point, you know, we kind of look at each other and we start talking about that's our passion. That's going to be our charity give. We need to develop something that can bring these families to San Antonio and to Morgan's Wonderland to experience a trip of a lifetime, something they may not ever experience again. So we quite rapidly got into this and developed Project Angel Fairs. And over the years, we have continued to bring in amazing families. We're now over 60 families. We're bringing at least 10 to 15 families every single year to the park, to San Antonio. And I can't even describe what it's done for these families and what it's done for these children to come to this park and experience Morgan's Wonderland and Project Angel Fairs. I can tell you that the parents, you know, when you're walking in these parks and your first feeling is when we're bringing the kids to the park, and your first feeling is, you know, what are they going to do? You know, I want to see these kids' faces. I want to see, you know, how they react. Because we personally, my wife pretty much runs the whole organization, and she, we personally, especially her, attends every visit by these families. And so you wonder what the kids' faces are going to look like. But, it's tremendous, and it's heartbreaking and enjoying. But I can tell you, when you look at the parents' faces and see their kids do something they've never done before in their life, I can tell you it's priceless. It's absolutely priceless.
Was the word that came to mind for me was priceless. Paul, what else you got for us?
I want to learn more. Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to learn more about Project Angel Fairs, it's at projectangelfairs.com. There's also on Facebook, facebook.com/projectangelfairs. If you're ever in San Antonio, you certainly want to take a look at the wonderful facility just up the road from Johnson Brothers Bakery Supplies. Really great place. Great to discuss that along with your business, Kevin. I wish you continued success to you and your wife, Melissa. And, hopefully we'll bring you back on the show when we hit those 25 or 50 locations.
Can't let you get away without telling the audience how they can find him and learn more about him.
I was leaving that for you.
So, Kevin, in the time that's left to us here today, we don't want to let you get away without first telling us, how can a member of our audience find you and learn more about any of these incredible endeavors that you're involved with? And tell us again, you shared a couple of these places that you're going to be exhibiting. Where can maybe somebody find you at one of these shows in the not-too-distant future?
Well, we'll definitely be at the SoFlo Cake Show. We'll definitely be at the Franchise Expo in New York City. You'll find us in the Franchise Foundry booth. You'll find us at Johnson Brothers Bakery Supply. My phone is always on. My door is always open. And we'll just continue to start posting. Find us on Facebook. Find us on all social media outlets. We'll be posting where we're going, what events we're attending. And I welcome anybody at any time to reach out and call me and discuss anything that might be on your mind.
And your URL, your website, homepage?
Homepage is Johnson Brothers Bakery Supplies.com and over the top, cakesupplies.com and brewerydirect.net and projectangelfairs.com.
That is a wealth of internet connectivity, Paul.
Yes,
no telling how long
yes,
this man's
is.
Been around you in social media, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely got a whirlwind experience through the whole social media thing. But like I said, he's been a great student of it, as well as his great team. Thanks again, Kevin, for taking the time of being with us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
And Kevin, you know, the Cowboys could actually learn something from you, because your team is a winning team, and that's just – I have to end it where we started it. I'm sorry.
Dan, I was just going to tell you I was going to go for the Falcons, but now I'm not sure.
Kevin, I've enjoyed it. As always, it's a pleasure to talk with you.
Likewise. Go Falcons.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Stan, another great show. And of course, we're both getting ready, probably packing, or at least we should be packing, planning to arrive in the great city of Las Vegas at Mandalay Bay Hotel and Conference Center and Casino and party room and everything else imaginable under one roof when 4,500 franchise professionals converge on IFA Convention 2017. I'm certain it's going to be an absolute great event as always, but I don't know, for some reason, I actually feel this year is going to come up a notch. I don't know why I have that feeling. I do. I'm excited. Certainly I'll be there, and I'll also be there with a full team from the Franchise Brokers Association, which, of course, as everybody knows, I'm also president of. So, and I know you guys will be there as well.
We will definitely be there. We'll have a booth in the exhibit hall, and I believe you're right, Paul. I think that there's a mood swing of optimism. We are certainly faced with the unknown as we begin a new year with a new administration. But I feel like franchising as a whole is encouraged that no matter whatever else may or may not come our way, we may start feeling some relief from the oppressive regulations that have been pounding at us for the last few years now. And I think that, to his credit, Aziz Hashim is going to be passing the baton to Shelly's son this year, but we want to thank Aziz for the contribution that he's made to raising the bar on awareness of what franchising actually is and helping with that about our franchise initiative. Get so many wonderful stories of franchisors, franchisees, and even suppliers out to the community, to the basic community to communicate to the average person who's not inside of our business exactly what franchising is all about.
Absolutely. I want to leave everybody with this from IFA President and CEO Robert Crisanti, who said in a report yesterday, franchising is an American success story. Establishments are growing faster and creating more jobs at a faster pace than the overall economy. They're getting more sales and growth than other businesses. Until the week after IFA, that's 2 weeks from today, my name is Paul Segretto, wishing you the best, the very best in this great, great thing we call franchising. And Franchise Today is out.